This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Andrea Seabrook. The Iowa caucuses are less than a month away. The new commander-in-chief will face daunting challenges abroad, from trade with China to the war in Iraq. This weekend, we're looking at the foreign policy expertise of the presidential candidates. Tomorrow, we'll hear from some of the campaign advisors. Today, we hear from Richard Haass. He's the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, a nonpartisan think tank. Haass says it's not easy to predict how a president will act based on statements during the campaign. History, he says, is full of examples.
You've had people talk about, for example, missile gaps in the run-up to the election of somebody like John Kennedy. He ran actually at times to the right of Richard Nixon. But then when he became president, he obviously understood that there wasn't a gap in any way, that actually the United States enjoyed particular advantages in the area of strategic weaponry. I think it's important to keep in mind, at the risk of sounding somewhat cynical, that the principal purpose of campaigns is to get elected. And it isn't necessarily to lay out in exquisite detail everything you would do about foreign policy.
Is foreign policy expertise more necessary now than in the past, would you say?
Expertise is important, but judgment is even more important. You can gather a degree of expertise by those you have around you, by reading up. But there's no substitute for judgment, because ultimately you're going to be surrounded by a group of advisors. You're going to have an inbox with events, in some cases, that you could not or did not anticipate. And the President of the United States is going to have to make some difficult decisions. So I don't necessarily care that somebody knows every detail about, say, the political system in Pakistan, or every detail of the pros and cons of a strong dollar. But it would be nice if they had read some history books and essentially been schooled in some of the sorts of problems that presidents have had to face before.
Mr. Haass, what could looking at a candidate's foreign policy advisor tell us about the candidate?
It tells you potentially two things. In my experience, candidates rarely subject themselves to people who they fundamentally disagree with. So it often gives you some insight into their own thinking and orientation and potentially who they would appoint. The other thing is it sometimes tells you also who they want to be seen with. Candidates may want to be seen with them, so to speak, because they may judge that it would be politically beneficial to them. There's probably even another category, now that I'm thinking of it, which is certain candidates may want to be seen speaking to experienced voices if the question comes up about their own credentials.
Now, looking at the candidates as a whole on both sides, all of the major candidates seem to favor a vigorous role for the United States in the world right now.
You're exactly right. And that's quite interesting. Because historically, one might have suspected or predicted that, given the fact that we've had this very costly, unpopular war in Iraq that has dominated so much of American foreign policy for, say, the last 5 or 6 years, one could have predicted that there would have been something of an allergy to foreign policy, an isolationist reaction. And the fact that we're not seeing one, the fact that all of the candidates are leaning forwards when it comes to America's involvement in the world, albeit in different ways, is quite an interesting thing. It tells you that Americans have matured, and I think that the country understands that in a global world filled with various kinds of challenges and threats as well as opportunities, there's no escaping behind our borders.
Then again, how much room has President Bush left for any new president to change the path the U.S. is on?
I think there's considerable room, but you make a good point. Whoever gets elected, he or she doesn't begin with a blank slate. The one thing we know is that the new president will inherit a tremendously complex world, and they will inherit a United States that is in some ways less well positioned to deal with it, because our military is stretched and is worn down, because we are so vulnerable to interruptions of oil imports, because the anti-Americanism in the world and so forth. So the combination of a demanding world and a stretched United States will limit the discretion of the new president, although they will still have significant opportunity to introduce new dimensions and, in some cases, new directions to American foreign policy.
Richard Haass, President of the Council on Foreign Relations, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Andrea.